لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel, please recite after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we all should know the name of the program by now. It is called The Blessings of Milad, and yes, we all should also know what Milad means. It refers to the blessed birth, more specifically the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. As again, we all should know, it is the month of Rabi'ul Nur, Rabi'ul Awwal, the month in which the greatest of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was sent to this world. Now, each and every single day we bring to you a new topic, a topic in regards to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and different aspects of his life, of his qualities, of his beautiful and perfect attributes, the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, about which it has been said that if the entire oceans, if all of the oceans had been turned into ink, and all of the trees and branches had been turned into pens, and the awsaf, the beautiful attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to be written, then the pens and the ink will run out, but yet there would be so much left to say about the beautiful attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Why, my dear brothers, the entire Quran itself is a na'at, is the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, as usual, inshallah azza we shall begin by listening to the verses of the glorious Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ما كان على النبي من حرج فيما فرض الله له سنة الله في وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا الذين يبلغون ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله ولكن رسول الله وخاتم وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, as usual, we have a new topic today. And the topic of today is about one of the greatest. You know, every single attribute of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no doubt great. But today, we shall be, inshallah, speaking about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, subhanallah, as after glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as after listening to the Holy Quran, we send salutations, durood, salawat upon the greatest of mankind sallallahu ta'ala sallam. So for this, I ask any one of my mashallah our Naad Khans to give us a Naad of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah. Qurban main unki bakhshish ke qurban main unki bakhshish ke maqsad bhi
Shake it.
سد بھی زبان پر آیا نہیں مقصد بھی کرم ہے شہ بتحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
دے
بھر کے دیا محروم کبھی لوٹ آیا نہیں محروم کبھی لوٹ آیا نہیں قربان میں ان کی بخشش کے مقصد بھی زبان پر آیا نہیں بن مانگے دیا اور اتنا دیا بن مانگے دیا اور اتنا دیا دامن میں ہمارے سما
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And some brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the name of the program is the blessings of Milad. Alhamdulillah, today inshallah Azza wa Jal shall be speaking about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. You know, whatever aspect, whatever element we look at when it comes to the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, then no doubt there is so much to be said. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, kana ajwad an-nas, that the greatest of mankind sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, he was the most generous of all people. He was the most generous of all people. Now, you know, there's different types of generosity and there's different situations in which a person is in. And depending upon which situation he's in, are we able to distinguish or differentiate or, you know, actually truly understand how generous a person really is. For that, alhamdulillah, to tell us more about this, inshallah, we have our mubaligs along with us. We have, mashallah, Ammar by Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib. Let's get some blessings from Hafiz Sahib. Hafiz Sahib, the jood, karam, you know, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Tell us more.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. When the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood and when the first verses of the Quran were revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he comes home, how Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says that, oh Khadija, cover me, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shaking, and he says that Sayyida Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says that wallahi al-azim, nothing can harm you. Why? Because you are so generous to the people, you listen to people, you help people, nothing can harm you. So that is Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how generous he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And there are so many examples that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so generous and kind. You know, when you talk about generosity and kindness of any normal person, what happens is that sometimes, you know, that person will give you something that maybe he doesn't need that, or maybe he'll give you in a small amount. But when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives you so much. And then the Sahaba ikram, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say that, do you need any more? Once a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked for something, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him, and then he says, do you need more? And he kept quiet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him more. He kept quiet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him more. So there is no such thing as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give you in a limited proportion. You know, he will give you everything. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, not once but many times we hear and we read in the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whatever he needed for himself, and he needed, like the very famous waqia of that cloak, when the companion came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took it off straight away and gave it to him. You know, so there was no such thing. I think we discussed this as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said no in his lifetime. Wow. Even though to an extent that a Sahabi, a Bedouin, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have anything to give to him. So he didn't say that, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes, go to so and so person and ask him that I have sent you, he will give you that and I will go and pay the debt.
Allah.
You don't find that, you know, in anywhere, in our lifestyle, you know, very, very few people possess that, that they will go out of their means to help someone else.
Allah, Allah, Allah. Madhya Islam presents some views of the Nishan. In fact, Hafsa is said, isn't it, that if the word la, you know, the word la in Arabic means no, you know, in English you translate as no. And, you know, as you mentioned, that whenever the Prophet would be asked, he would never say la, he would never say no. He would always give those people. And it has been said that if the word la was not in the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, that I testify and I bear witness that there is no God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger and prophet. The ulama, they state, if there was to be no la in the shahada, when you're testifying that there is no God, the word no is used, that if there was not to be any la there, then the Prophet would have never said la. Subhanallah. This is you could say, referring to, no doubt about it, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he would never reject somebody. Now, this is something which is very, very rare, and is even more rare for a leader. You see, for a leader, it's a lot easier to say la, is it not?
Yeah.
It's very easy. If somebody was to come, you could easily say no to him. Why, you're his king. You know, the Prophet ﷺ was more than a king to the people. Yet the Prophet ﷺ, you know, وَحَكِيَ جُودَ وَكَرَمِهَ شَهِبَتُهَا تَيْرَا نِهِ سُنْتَا هِ نِهِ مَانْگِنِ وَالَا تَيْرَا. You know, this is the generosity, the jood and the karam. Now, I'm going to ask my mubaligs, you know, what does it mean by jood or karam? What's the difference? Amar by smiling, go on, and Amar by you tell
it. It's quite a coincidence that you asked me that question, because I was thinking of starting with that same point after hearing Hafiz Rafaqah Sahib's discussion, mashallah. Because we heard this during our initial kalam as well, you know, waha kya judo karam. When you spoke to Hafiz Sahib before, you know, before you went to him, you used the word jood as well. So, jood and karam, when they come together in that couplet of Sidi Al-Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullah alayhi, we should not mistake them for synonyms. You know, that they both mean the same thing. But rather, even when we're using them, we should not be thinking they are synonyms. Yes, in English, for a lack of a better word, we might end up translating both of them as generosity and generosity, or kindness, or however you sort of translate them. But in the Arabic language, they're actually used sort of different, jood and karam. And one of the differences, one of the linguistic differences that we learn, is that jood is when you grant somebody without even questioning. Without them asking for it, you still give it to them. And then karam is when you grant them when they ask for it. And both of these qualities were found in the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He possessed this. He granted without, you know, without asking, he granted. Whenever his generosity, when it was overflowing, and he would just grant, without asking, he would just grant. And likewise, when somebody came and then they questioned, he would still grant, but he would grant way more than the expectations of that person.
Allah, Allah.
So this is the jood and the karam at the same time. Like, for example, we find in the beautiful life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that to the extent that sometimes he bought something from another person and he paid him the money, and then he gifted that thing back to him as well.
Allah, Allah.
For example, in Bukhari Sharif, we find Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I think it's Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu sold his camel to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after having paid him the money, later returned that camel as a gift to him. Likewise, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we find that he bought a camel from him as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought it, gave him the money, and then later gifted that camel to the son of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is, you know, this is generosity, karam and jood at the same time.
What's a share pez hai ya? Shahid tasneem na rala tera.
Allahu akbar.
Faiz hai ya shahid tasneem nirala tera. Faiz hai ya shahid tasneem nirala tera. Aap pyaason جسوس میں ہے دریا تیرا آپ پیاسوں کے تجسوس میں دریا تیرا
اور تیرے ٹکڑوں سے بنے گئے کی ٹھوکر پہ نہ ڈال
تیرے کا تیرے
Brothers and viewers of the channel, alhamdulillah, we have some calls.
My name is Muhammad Inayatul Attari from Dewsbury, UK, and I would like to listen to Qasidah Noor. Jazakallahu khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khairah. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, our Nad Khans will, inshallah, in due time, recite Qasidah Noor. Amar bhai, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
The generosity of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Hafiz Rifaq Sahib hinted towards it. There were some times where our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed something, like, you know, from due to the apparent means or the apparent situation. It was visible that he needs it or he requires it in one way or the other. But at the same time, when somebody asked, he never said no. And you know, this not saying no, this is not something that we're saying, but even the companions, alayhim ridwan, the Sahaba themselves, they testified to this. And they themselves said that we've never heard the word la, the word no, from the blessed tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, in this narration, the summary of which is that a woman once, she wrote a shawl, like a chadar, a shawl to the beloved, blessed court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says that I've sewn this, I've woven this with my own hands, Ya Rasulullah. And she gave it to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it, and he needed that shawl. So once he wore it, and the narration states that he wore it as a cloth for an undergarment, like what do we call it? Tahband. Tahband, like an undergarment. So he was using it as that. And when he came to the companions, alayhim ridwan, one of the companions, he saw this and he says, Ya Rasulullah, what a beautiful shawl this is.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Can you give me it? And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then granted him that shawl later. And now the other companions, his companions, the Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan around him, they scolded him for that. And they said to him, that was not the right thing to do. That wasn't right. You saw that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that shawl and he needed it. So then why did you ask for it? And you know when somebody asks the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never says no. He does not say no, but
Allah,
rather
Allah,
he grants.
Allah.
And look at the beautiful thinking of that other companion. He was thinking from a totally different angle at that point. So he was like, you know, I have not asked for this from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for any other reason.
SubhanAllah.
I've only asked for one, due to one reason.
Allah.
And that is that when I die, this becomes my shroud, this becomes my coffin, because it has touched the blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the body of the blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of the blessings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wanted it after he had used it to gain blessings, so that it can be my shroud. And it is mentioned in the narration that the companions, alayhim ridwan, they say that it did later become his shroud as well. So he was shrouded in that. You know, look at just both aspects. One is the generosity of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is it is so visible to the companions that they clearly said to the other companion that, look, you know, when anybody asks, they don't hear a no from this court.
Allah.
So why did you ask when the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself needed it? But then he also says, look, I wanted it for the blessings.
So beautiful, isn't it? We talk about, you know, generosity. Whenever we think about generosity, we think about a rich man being generous.
Yeah.
We think about a rich man being generous. No doubt the Prophet ﷺ is the possessor of the mafatihu khaza'in al-ard. meaning all of the keys of the treasure of the earth, He gives as He wishes.
Generosity and kindness and giving is to do with the heart. It's not to do with money. You know, there's a lot many people who have a lot of money, but do they give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal? You know, like a share, hai na ke khud dein aur kahe mangtu ka bala ho.
Aata ke faqeeron pe unhe pyar kuch aisa. Aata ke faqeeron pe unhe pyar kuch aisa ki khud bheek de aur khud kahe mangta ka bhala ho. Khud bheek de aur khud kahe mangta ka bhala ho.
Beautiful, it's narrated by Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he states anna rajulan sa'alahu sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that a man approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something. And it says that فَأَعْطَاهُ غَنَمًا بَيْنَ جَبَلَيْنِ.
Allahu Akbar.
That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him, and he gives him so much that he gives him an entire herd of goats, so much so that it fills between two mountains. This is how much he had given. And then it is, and this Qadi Ayyad rahimahullah mentioned in his Kitab al-Shifa, he says, فَرَجَعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Then that person, he then went back to his قوم and he said that, oh people, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is such a man, لا يخشى فاقه. He is such a man who he does not fear poverty.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Not fearing poverty. This itself is, you know, I could give. Now, if I've got wealth in it, SubhanAllah, if I had wealth, Allahu Akbar, I could give. And once I would give, there would be a point where, you know, I can't give no more. You know, there's a point, isn't there? You know, I've only got enough for myself, I can't give no more. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was such an individual where he would give, he would give, he would give, and he would continue to give, even if he had nothing left.
You know, the thing is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never used to measure things. Yeah, he never used to weigh things up, okay, you're gonna take this. If I have something like you mentioned, you know, whenever we give into the masjid, we put our hands in the pocket, we'll get them out, note again, okay, let's put that back again, and then we put the coins in. We always measure things, but when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no measuring, he'll just give it to you.
Allahu Akbar.
So there's obviously these different ways of being generous. One is generosity in terms of giving it to the people. And yes, we should provide the poor. The Prophet would always give things to the poor. Another is to give it to Islamic institutions, to the masjid, the masajid, the mosques, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This itself is no doubt full of blessing. Now look, subhanAllah, Amarba, in fact, I'll ask you both, you and Hafizab. If you were, let's just say, subhanAllah, somebody had a lot of money to give somewhere, what would you say is the best place to give it?
You know, in terms of like how you reply to this, the mentality of the person really matters a lot. Like, you know, they'd be thinking, no, this does not feel right. But first we have to come back to the base that we are, alhamdulillah, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are Muslims. And our belief is in whatever the glorious Quran states and whatever our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us and has reached us. That, all of that is what is our top priority. So if we look at it in the light of the Quran and Hadith, otherwise, as I said, because of the mentality of the person, you know, somebody might have like 102 places to plan to go and visit, so he'd want to spend his money there, or he has this much plan. But in the Hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that that money which you have spent in the way of Allah, that is in fact your money.
Subhanallah.
That is your wealth. Because when you die and that money that you have not spent in the way of Allah, you had it stored, you had it sort of in your bank or wherever you had it kept safe, that money is no longer in your possession. But rather,
which comes to mind, that money doesn't have owners. This is subhanAllah, this is brilliant. Money doesn't have owners, it just has spenders.
Allahu Akbar. And like, for example, actually speaking about the generosity of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a narration mentioned which Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks, you know, this, there was a goat slaughtered, and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks if we have any meat left. And Sayyida Aisha says, no, it's all been distributed. We only have the shoulder, or like an arm or a shoulder of the goat left. And the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, we have everything left but that shoulder.
Allah.
So the scholars explaining this, they say that this is the reward in the hereafter. And if we can think from that angle, you know, there is a beautiful incident or a story that I think Imam Ibn Jawzi Ali Rahmah has mentioned in his Uyun al-Hikayat, that a person is about to pass away. You know, this kind of shows us the reality that who is worried about what. So the summary of the story is that a person is about to pass away, and he's got his mother around him, he's got his children's mother and his children around him, and they're all crying. So he says to the mother, you know, my mother, why are you crying? So she says, my son, you were everything for me, you were my everything in this life. When you die, you know, who am I going to go and speak to? Who is going to be my means of comfort? And I'm crying over that thought that I'm going to lose you. Then he asks his children's mother, why are you crying? And she says, you know, after you, I would be a widow. I've spent my life with you and now I'm going to lose you. And I'm crying over that thought. He asks his children, why are you crying? And they say that, you know, after you go, we'll become orphans. We won't have a father. And we're crying over that thought that we're going to lose you. And he says, you know, each and every one of you, you're crying for personal reasons. You're crying because you're going to lose out on something. None of you is crying over the thought that what is going to happen to me when I die? What is going to happen to me in my grave? What stages am I going to go through? And it's such a, you know, it's such an eye-opening incident that people do cry maybe. And who has what in their mind when they're crying? I actually read an article about a few months back, and this was a piece of research from a worldly point of view, but it kind of helps us drive that point home that, you know, in our life we do so much to try to impress everybody, to try to kind of gain everybody's attention. We show, you know, we go as far as showing off, even though we do good deeds, but we're showing off with those good deeds only to impress these people. And that article said that on average, a person, when he dies, when he passes away, on average, only 10 people will shed tears. Only 10 people on his funeral, when he's passed away, will shed tears. And those people will generally be whom? You know, the people that were directly blood relatives.
Ji, could the call please be played?
My name is Tasavvur Attari from Bradford, UK. I would firstly like to congratulate the Madani Channel team for the blessed month of our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and then congratulate them for all the efforts that they are putting into Madani Channel over this special month of Milad, namely the program The Blessings of Milad, which is so much fun to watch as well as being very educational. Jazakallahu khaira, may Allah azza wa jalla reward you for your efforts in this world and also in the hereafter.
Ameen, ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khairah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reward you and shower His mercy, His immense mercy and blessings upon your family. Ji Hafiz Saab, tell me about
you. I was going to just carry on from where Marbai left, that nowadays you find people that you can hire them to cry at someone. You know, you mentioned about 10 people. Now you can hire people. Why? Because people, they rarely cry now. We had a funeral near where we live, and we went there and we saw the young lad was crying, and, you know, even in the janaza, you know, you could see him, you know, crying really loudly. And then after the janaza, you know, we went up to him and we said that, look, brother, you know, just calm down. Allah Ta'ala, you know, forgive your dad and everything. And he goes, do you think I'm crying because my dad's dead? He goes, I'm not crying because of that. I thought that he's left a few money behind, but he hasn't left anything.
Allah.
You know, so nowadays, astaghfirullah, there's not many people who will cry for someone. You know, and now that is why that the trend is increasing. Mufti Sahab told me, especially in India, this trend is increasing. Maybe here as well and around the world, that people are hiring someone. Okay, come to our house and cry. That's how sad things have become.
Hafiz Sahab, do you know, the reason for this is lack of knowledge.
Ji.
Being distancing themselves from the religion.
And what we have to understand also is that crying, you know, somebody might be thinking, no, that's not possible. How can only be such a small number of people? One is you feel sad. You know, somebody close passes away, you'll feel sad, definitely. But to genuinely shed a tear, it's a very hard task. It's not, you know, it's not a simple task. And on the other hand though, if we look at it, and this is, you know, this is something that's for all of us to think about, coming back to sort of the discussion with regards to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
that
we spent all our life in trying to impress people, trying to impress these people, trying to win their hearts. But our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, generosity, like you said, it's not, like Hafiz was mentioning as well, generosity is in many ways, not just spending financially, but also good character, and you know, caring for another person, genuinely having concern for another person, all of these come under generosity in one sense. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we try to impress people through our entire lives, and maybe we can only get a few 10 people or so to shed tears at the end, and those are close blood relatives which were genuinely concerned, which we throughout our life we ignored. But our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his physical presence on this earth, we were not physically there, even then our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shed tears for us. He shed tears for us, and he asked for our forgiveness. You know, that's something really, when you think about it, that I spent my entire life trying to impress a person and he cannot even shed one tear at my death. And yet, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shed so many tears. Allah kya jahannam, ab bhi na sard hoga, ro ro ke Mustafa ne darya baha diye hain. This was the love that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for us.
And that is,
you know, we need to, what can we do to pay back? We can never pay back anyways, but what efforts can we make?
I think this has been mentioned before as well, but it's sometimes, you know, when I talk about the waqia, it brings you so much, you know, emotions as well sometimes, that a friend went to his friend and he goes, that I need some money and I'm really, really fallen into debt and please help me. And that friend, he gave him the money and he started to cry. And his wife, she said to him that, if you don't want to give him anything, don't give it to him. Now you've given it to him, why are you crying for? And he goes, I'm crying because why did it take my friend to come to me for me to realize that he needs my help?
Allah.
You know, I should have known because he's my friend. Now, if we all look at it today, you know, we've got money stashed away at home. And I'm not saying, you know, even in the UK, maybe people think, oh, bade okhe waqt guzri rahe hain. We're very, very hard. You know, we can't pay the bills. Allah Ta'ala has given us enough money. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, but there's a verse in the Quran, you know, Suratul Humaza. الذي جمع مالا وعددا يحسب أن ماله أخلدا. That all this wealth that you are accumulating and counting, does he think that his life will prolong? You know, does he think that he is putting this wealth on the side and he's going to live forever? You're going to die one day. Now, why not spend, like Marbe mentioned, what we spend in the way of Allah, what we eat, what we drink, what we clothe ourselves, that belongs to us. Nothing, the rest of it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to those that we leave behind. And if they are pious children, then alhamdulillah, they might give something in the way of Allah and will be rewarded for that. And if they are away from the deen, they're going to spend it on other things, and maybe they're going to spend on haram things, and we're going to be asked for that. We did the hard work and they're spending it in the wrong way.
Allah. Madhya Islam and Buddhism Views of Madhya Channel, we are speaking about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. We did have a call requesting for Qasida and Noor. Inshallah, let's listen to that, inshallah, and then we'll take another call. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala
alayhi wa ala. بڑھتا ہے بڑا نور کا صدقہ لینے نور کا آیا ہے تارا نور کا اللہ 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 میں گدا تو بادشاہ بھر دے پیالا نور کا میں گدا آقا میں گدا آقا میں گدا تو بادشاہ
بادشاہ بھر دے پیانا نور کا میں گدا تم بادشاہ بھر دے پیانا نور کا نور دن دونا تیرا دے ڈال صدقہ نور کا اللہ اللہ تیری نسل پاک میں گئے بچہ بچہ نور کا تیری نسل پاک میں گئے بچہ بچہ نور کا
تیری نسل پاک میں
اللہ اے رضائے احمد نوری کا فیض نور ہے اے رضا اچھے رضا سچے رضا میرے رضا مرشد رضائے احمد نوری کا فیض نور ہے قصیدہ نور کا اللہ 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 اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى اله وسلم. My Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, the program is the blessings of Milad. Ji, coming back to Ammar bhai. Ammar bhai, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Any more waqas, any more stories?
There are quite a few waqas actually, but you mentioned a narration earlier on, and I think that's possibly found in Bukhari Sharif or Muslim Sharif. I think Bukhari Sharif, you know, with regards to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving in a way that he has no fear of poverty. I saw another narration which was translated, so obviously I've not checked the actual wording for it, but the translation, mashallah, is beautiful. You know, the translation was that it was a similar narration with regards to two valleys being filled with goats, that much goats being given to a person, and he goes back to his nation and he says that, O people, accept Islam because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam grants in such a way, thereafter there remains no fear of poverty.
Subhanallah.
So he gives such that after that, a person himself, the one that has been granted that blessing, he has no fear of poverty. So that also shows, you know, when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give, he would not just give for that much amount to sort of fulfill that person's need. A lot of the times it would be that he would grant him way more than what the person
asked. There's something beautiful which Qadi Ayyad rahimahullah, he mentions. His honesty is really, really beautiful. He says, فَكَانَ لَا يُوَازَ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَخْلَاقِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. He says that nobody can match Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to generosity. He doesn't stop there. He continues, وَلَا يُبَارَ بِهَذَا. Nobody can, you know, be parallel to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then what he says is, Allahu Akbar, he says, wa wasafahu kullu man arafahu. And this is the way that each and every single person who knows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is how they describe him.
Allahu Akbar.
This is how each and every one, my dear Islamic brothers, everybody who described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they describe one thing: on the one hand, his beauty, no doubt about it, and then his generosity. The generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something which cannot be matched, my dear Islamic brothers. And this is, honestly, this is. It is great, really, it's beautiful that yes, he's the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was granted, you know, he was given the option, wasn't he? He was given the option to be a prophet and a king. You know, Nabiyyan wa Malikan. Oh, he was given the option to be Nabiyyan wa Abdan, meaning a king and also a servant, and apparently to be poor in the world. And he chose, my Islamic brothers, he chose to be, yes, you know that he's a prophet. But he also chose poverty. But yet he would give so much, my dear Islamic brothers. For those of you that possess this attribute in you where you are mazala miserly, where you are stingy, where you are not able to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you are not able to grant money to those people who are poor, you know, this is a chance for you. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of mankind sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the greatest, possesses the greatest of attributes.
Allah.
That's what makes him the greatest.
Allah.
They possess the greatest of attributes, and the greatest of all time was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous of people. We should try to adopt this. Inshallah, yes, we should pay our zakah. This is necessary. It is obligatory. But as well as our zakat, we should give sadaqah. We should spend on the people, we should spend and give to Islamic institutions, and we should also spend upon our family. You know, we should spend upon our families, our relatives, my dear Islamic, especially close relatives, and more importantly, in terms of for Isali Sawab, to gain continuous reward. Even after you die, when all of your amal shall finish, to continue to gain reward, you should spend on Islamic institutions. What's the best institution, I would say, to, you know, spend on Jamiatul Madina?
Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, we have 606 branches of Jamiatul Madina around the world. And we have, Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, you know, nearly 45,000 students that are studying in Jamiatul Madina. And most of them, you know, they stay in the place. Like, for example, Jamiatul Madina in Bradford, mashallah, you're the Nazim Sahib there. Yeah. You've got nearly about 80 students that live there. Now, these 80 students, Alhamdulillah, there's more that are studying, about 130, 40. But them 80 students or more, they are fed 3 times a day. They are giving accommodation. Now, Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, then when you look at it around the world, you know, this is Jamiatul Madina. Our future scholars, you know, one of the things that worries our community is that who's going to take the message of Islam forward? Because we can see that today we are struggling. We can't find English-speaking imams in our masjids. Everyone's crying out. You know, before I came, I got a call from someone. And they said that, you know, we'll be obliged if you can give us a English-speaking imam sahab, you know. And then another call. Can you please provide us an English-speaking qari sahab that can come and teach in our madrasa? No one available. Now, you know, the thing is, there's about 3 million people living in the UK who are Muslims, more than that. But out of them, 3 million, we are still struggling to accommodate our masajids with imams. So Jamiatul Madina is playing a very, very crucial role in bringing our future imams. You know, these are English-speaking ulama that are going to be coming out of there, and inshallah, azawajal, taking over, you know, the message of Islam to, as they say, the next generation. Now, Jamiatul Madina, one expense, I can remember, now this is a few years back when I was given the zimmedari for Jamiatul Madina, we were spending nearly about £200,000 annually on Jamiatul Madina.
Sahab, now is just the Jamiatul Madina of Bradford, where I study and I learn.
Ji.
Just in that Jamiatul Madina, we are spending 600,000 annually.
When I mentioned a few years ago, we didn't have many students as well. You know, and now, Alhamdulillah, we've got so many students. And then Madrasatul Madina, you know, there's nearly 145,000 students studying in Madrasatul Madina. You know, and then what results are we giving? Look at the results. The results, nearly, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, 3,000, you know, students that have done that Dars-e Nizami course. Even this year, there's about nearly 800 that are going to have that Dastar Bandi done as well. Now, in Madrasatul Madina, 76,000 students have finished the Hafiz-e Quran. Oh, wow. Now, don't think of them just as students. MashaAllah, yourself now, yeah? You've got a full-time job. Now, Jamiatul Madina gave you the opportunity to study, and Jamiatul Madina is now giving you a full-time job where you are, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you know, a breadwinner for your family. In the same way, think of it this way, that not only are you going to be supporting the students, but indirectly, inshallah, you'll be supporting their families. And annually, Madrasatul Madina goes into millions. You know, and Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, for that we need the help of, you know, people like, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, viewers of Madani channel, and people have been donating.
This is one Jamiat al-Madina, 600,000 in Bradford, you know, just in Bradford, the Jamiat al-Madina we have. But we also have five other Jamiat al-Madina. And now, alhamdulillah, we've also started part-time in three places, Jamiat al-Madina in the whole of UK. For those that are not aware, please join Jamiat al-Madina. You know, we invite people, come stay at our Jamiat al-Madina. You shall be granted, you know, accommodation. You shall be granted three meals a day, freshly cooked meals a day, ourselves.
Freshly cooked, yeah.
Freshly cooked. We have our own cook. Alhamdulillah. But my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you know, I ask you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's also a means of, subhanallah, it could be the means for your salvation and your akhirah. From your money, people shall complete the recitation of the Quran. Now for each letter they recite, they gain 10 rewards.
And you know,
for each letter somebody recites, my dear Islamic brothers, they gain 10 rewards. Imagine from your money, somebody completes the entire Quran. Imagine they complete the entire Quran, and then not only just complete the entire Quran, imagine they become a hafiz of Quran, and then even greater, my dear brothers, imagine somebody from your money is to become an alim deen, really, is to become a scholar, an ambassador of Islam, a representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is to go around the world and propagate the message of Islam, to bring people towards Islam, to rectify people's bad actions, to make them true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt he shall teach others, they shall teach others, and it shall continue, and all of that reward, my dear Islamic brothers, shall go to you. It is said about the alimin, you know, first it's said about a student, man kharaja fi talab al-ilm, fahuwa fi sabilillahi ta'ala hatta yarji'a. That person who goes out in search of knowledge, he is on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns. And then even more, you know, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions in his Ihya al-Ulum that idha kana yawm al-qiyamah yaqulu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lil-'abidin wal-mujahideen, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the abids, those people who worship, and the mujahids, those people who had strived in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you enter Jannah. They'll say that, you know, ya Allah libadi ilmi ta'abbadu wa tajahadu, it is only due to our knowledge that they did such and such. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, you know, antum 'indi labada malaikati, you are ulama to me are like my angels. You know, ishfa'u tashfa'u fa yashfa'una thumma yadkhuluna jannata, you also intercede on others' behalf, and then they shall intercede and take other people to Jannah with them. But these Islamic brothers, imagine on the day of judgment, you know, you had no other good action. Really, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this action, you know, sitting and subhanAllah propagating religion of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continue to give, and he was the most generous of people. Let us also try to adopt this attribute of generosity and give, but give towards the best of places. Give towards Jamiat al-Madina, Madrasat al-Madina. Let's listen to a call from those viewers. If a call could please be played.
I'm Kamran Uttari from UK. Kibaz bhai, mashallah, aapka silsila bahut hi pyara hai. Hum har roz isko dekhte hain aur bahut sikhne ko bahut kuch milta hai. Aur mujhe aapse kalam sunna tha. Bula lo phir mujhe aishah bahr o bar madine mein, main phir rota hua hoon tere dar par madine mein.
I always wanted Shahbaz bhai to read a kalam, and now you got this view of Madina.
Yeah, he can't turn this over to Nath Khan. The request is that you've got
to
read it.
We're asking him to send us a request and he's going to turn it down.
You're putting me in a very difficult position, Afizab. Jazakallahu khaira for your call. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa grants the ability.
I think maybe he meant obviously the Nath Khan's. Let's just try to find a way out for Shahbaz bhai. So I think he probably meant, you know, because he's the one that is going to be telling them to read.
Subhanallah. You know, Banal Amirul Madinata. It is said that the king is the one who builds the city, whereas in fact the king doesn't build the city. He asks the people to build the city. So inshallah, acting upon this, subhanAllah, jazakallahu khairah for the brilliant advice, Amarbai. Let's ask our Nad Khan, inshallah, both of them can read together. Bulalo phir mujhe Aisha.
Maybe we can ask the viewer to tell us who he, what he meant.
He does not want you getting away with this.
Allahu Akbar. Hafiz Abdul Awwal, inshallah.
Bulalo phir mujhe Aisha.
Some خدا کی ہے یہ حقیقت جنہیں بلایا گیا مصطفیٰ نے وہی مدینے کو چار گے گئے بولا لو ہم غریبوں کو بولا لو یا رسول اللہ
جب مسجد نبوی کی مینار نظر آئے اللہ حق رحمت کے آثار نظر آئے بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو بلا لو یا رسول اللہ پائے شبیر و شبر فاطمہ حیدر مدینے اس لیے عطار جانو دل سے پیارا مدینہ اس لیے عطار جانو دل سے پیارا کہ رہتے گئے میرے آقا میرے دل پر مدینے میں کہ رہتے ہیں میرے آقا میرے دل پر مدینے میں
Medina is li attar. You know, why is it so, why are we always talking about Medina Sharif? You know, everything Medina, Medina, Madani, Madani. Medina is li attar. Ki jana dil se hai piyara. You know, Medina is more beloved to us than our life and our heart. Why? Ki rehte hain. Because who lives in Medina Tul Munawwara? Mere Aqa, you know, our Aqa, our Master, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lives in Medina Tul Munawwara. This is why Medina Tul Munawwara is so beloved to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all and show us Medina Tul Munawwara each and every single year, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. And this is that city where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had lived throughout the entire life. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his blessed feet had touched the soil of Madinatul Munawwara. Inna fi ghubariha shifa'un li kulli da.
Allahu.
That indeed within the ghubar, within the dust of Madinatul Munawwara, there is shifa for each and every single ailment, my dear brothers. For each and every single problem, its cure can be found in the soil of Madinatul Munawwara. Why? Because the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had touched the soil of Madinatul Munawwara. This is what makes it so great, so blessed. And SubhanAllah, speaking about the feet, the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would cover those feet, protect those feet with the blessed na'alain, with the blessed slippers, SubhanAllah, the slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Manishan, as you are aware, we do have a subtopic, and today's subtopic is about the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's learn about those. Alhamdulillah, you know, again, we'll start with Ammar bhai. Ammar bhai, whatever you wish, the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Before we actually talk about the blessed slippers, we have to realize that, you know, throughout the entire creation, many might wear slippers or shoes or sandals. But why is it that we don't talk about anybody else's slippers? Why is it that we don't talk about anybody else's shoes but the blessed slippers of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is because that those blessed slippers touched the blessed feet of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Had they touched another individual's feet, we might not be talking about them. But anything that comes into contact with the blessed body of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that thing obtains its greatness, like you mentioned, you know, the blessed soil of Madinatul Munawwara, because the soil touched the blessed feet of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and therefore after that it becomes a means of shifa. This is why in the glorious Quran we even find, you know, Allah. لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حل بهذا البلد. So that the scholars, they say that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala mentions an oath of the blessed city, that I take an oath by this city. Why? Because you reside in this city, because of the blessed feet of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that oath of that city is being taken. So our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what can we say about the sandals of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And as I said, you know, the greatness of those sandals, one of the reasons is because they touched the blessed feet of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are many blessings that the scholars have narrated with regards to a person who keeps even, you know, an image or
that is over here, alhamdulillah,
yeah, like a naqsh, an imprint of the blessed na'alain of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. So the scholars have mentioned, for example, yesterday actually we were speaking about this, mashallah, such a beautiful topic, seeing, having the vision of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The scholars have mentioned that if somebody wishes to,
this alhamdulillah is the Na'alayn Park of Allah, show, yes, the viewers of Madinah channel.
Allah subhanallah. So this is like an image or a naqsh.
This is something where alhamdulillah, you know, at times we place on the Imam Ashrif also. We place it at our head. Why? Subhanallah, it's what the companion says. But I'll come to that once you've finished your...
So, I mean, in terms of many, there are many blessings mentioned, and one of those blessings, like we were speaking about yesterday, being able to see the blessed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, having the vision of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The scholars, and you know, these are scholars, they say that these things are mujarrab, tried and tested. So they say one of the things is if somebody keeps an imprint or an image of the blessed Na'alayn with him, inshallah, he will get to see the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. So this is another beautiful way of actually obtaining the vision of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is to keep the imprint and the picture of the Na'alayn Mubarak with you. Inshallah, we'll mention
it. Mabed, you know something beautiful I really discovered was, subhanAllah, I didn't discover it, I just read about it. Allahu Akbar. In Syria, in the blessed Mulk al-Sham, Syria, which the Prophet has praised so much, there's, you know, many masajid there. And you know, during the Ottoman Empire, when subhanAllah we had the great Ottoman Empire, they built many masjids, and the people, the, you know, the founders and the governors, you can say, and the main individuals of the Ottoman Empire, the Khulafa, the Khalifas, etc., they were all true Ushaki Rasul. You know, like we say, true lovers of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam, they were all true lovers. Now, subhanAllah, we were talking about the other day how in Turkey, where every single masjid, now Turkey was the center of the Ottoman Empire, the capital, and each and every single masjid in Turkey holds some sort of relic of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam. Now in Sham, again during the Ottoman Empire, since the Ottoman Empire, in a masjid in Sham, as they place, you know, many different relics in a masjid, what they've done is, because they couldn't find, you know, there's only so many of the slippers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it said that they had, you know, like what I have right here, where it's a mithal is called, you know, an example, a drawing, a, you know, another way of representation. That's what this is, Madhi Sahib. Not many people may even be thinking, you know, what is this that you have here? This is just a representation, you know, to show what the Na'alayn Park looked like in a way. You know, subhanAllah, the slippers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, what in this masjid in Sham, there's a big drawing of the Na'alayn Park, very similar to this, but a drawing on the masjid at the side. And upon there, some ash'ar are written, some couplets are written on Marvai. It says, Ya Nazaran li Mithali Na'ali Nabiyyi. Or you onlooker, or you individual who is looking at the Mithali Na'ali Nabiyyi, at the blessed, what do you want to call it? The,
I think the example is the closest thing.
Example of the slippers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. مثال النعلي لا متكبرًا. That you kiss this blessed representation of the slipper of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. لا متكبرًا, without any pride or whatsoever. You know, lose all your pride and kiss
this blessed Allah. Representation, this example of the slipper of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he continues, he says, "Wamsah bi wajhika na'lahu idh massahu." And he says, and also wipe your face against this blessed na'leen, this blessed example of the slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And then he also gives an example. He gives an example. He says, "Idh massahu qadamun nabiyyi." Why? Because the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had touched these blessed slippers. This is the reason why you should just kiss this. Just this representation is not even the blessed slippers themselves. It is only the representation, it is only an example of the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So many people may be thinking, why do we have this here? Why is it close to my heart? Why? Because this is a representation, an example of how the slipper of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And it's mentioned by Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu, wasn't it? So Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu is known as Sahibun Ali.
Allahu Akbar, Sahib.
You know, he would carry the blessed slippers of Rasulullah, and this is how he would carry them.
Allahu.
He would carry them upon, against his chest, close to his heart. This, my dear Islamic brothers, is love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was shown by the companions radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum themselves.
A couplet came to my mind when you said, the blessed foot of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed feet have touched these sandals. See, the Al-Hadrat rahmatullahi alayhi, he makes a great comparison. He says, "Tere qadmo mein jo hai, ghair ka muh kya dekhe?" And they're total two different opposite things. When we are at your feet, Ya Rasulullah, how can we look at someone else's face? The face is the most honorable part of the body. Even to the extent that the face itself has a lot of honor when we look throughout the teachings of Islam. But the face being a very respectful part of the body, a very honorable part. And on the other hand, the lowest part are the feet. And generally, if somebody wants to praise somebody, be it in poetry, be it in writing, they would praise maybe his face, or they might even praise his hands. But you rarely would see anybody praising the feet of another individual.
Allah.
But see, the other rahmatullah is saying that, Ya Rasulullah, when we are at your feet, how can we even look at someone else's face?
Allah.
Look at the difference. And this is, it just brought into my mind the blessed feet of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poem by the brother of Allah Hazrat, "Jo sar pe rakhne ko mil jaye nale pa ke huzoor, to phir kahe haan tajdar
hum."
That if we have that blessed sandal of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us to keep it on our head, then we'll say that we are kings as well.
Allah.
Subhanallah azza wa jal.
These are my brothers, Imam Yusuf ibn Ismail al-Nabhani radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. For those that don't know who he was, my dear Islamic brothers, we have great saints like Imam Ahmad Rida Khan radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where we learn about the love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, there was Hazrat Yusuf ibn Ismail al-Nabhani radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a Palestinian scholar. He was born and raised in Palestine, and he also became the Grand Mufti of Palestine, of Asham, which is inclusive to Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, etc. And even during the peak of the Ottoman Empire, he became the Qadi. He became the judge of the Ottoman Empire. This is who Yusuf ibn Ismail al-Nabhani radhiyallahu anhu was. And he mentions some ash'ar. Allah Akbar, you see, it's beautiful because one thing is the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another is just this representation of the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, "Inni khadimtu mithala na'li al-Mustafa." He says that I serve the blessed slippers, or a caption, the misali na'li, meaning a representation of the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so that I may live under its shade. Allahu Akbar. لِعَيْشَ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ تَحْتَ ذِلَالِهَا. So that in both worlds I may live under its shade. Meaning, in this world I may gain blessing from it, and also in the Akhirah, so that I may gain blessing from it. And then he continues, سَعَدَ ibn Mas'ud بِخِدْمَةِ نَعْلِهِ. That Hazrat ibn Mas'ud, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was from amongst the greatest, he was from the Ibadullahi Arba'ah. meaning even from amongst the companions, he was a mufti from amongst the companions. You know, that person about whom the Prophet ﷺ said that in my religion, whatever the Abdullah ibn Mas'ud who is satisfied with, I am satisfied with that.
Allah
Akbar. This is how much the Prophet ﷺ had loved Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he says that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he served the real slippers of Rasulullah ﷺ. وَأَنَا السَّعِيدُ. And I am also fortunate. Why? بِخِدْمَةِ لِمِثَالِهَا. Just by me serving the representation, the example of the slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hafsa, moving back to you.
Yeah, I want to mention, you know, some of the adab, the etiquettes of Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, visiting or having the Nalene Park. One important thing Amir al-Sunnat mentioned in the Madani Muzakara as well is that, you know, don't give Nalene Park to little children. Because what they're going to do is they're going to throw it about, or they might, you know, for example, they might do bay'adbi of it. Because, you know, like the Sahaba Ikram, the Awliya Allah, they used to give so much preference to it. And, you know, like, for example, the crowns of the kings, Alhamdulillah for us, the Nalene Park are our crowns. That's how much adab we should give to them. Now, if you do visit a place where the Nalene Park, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, are shown to the public, then make sure you give them that full respect and full adab. Even though if it's just the, you know, like for example, that Nalene Park, that's just the, you can say, a badge, isn't it? Yeah. But because it resembles the Nalene Park, we need to give that respect as well. Respect is very, very important.
So when you go into the bathroom, for example, when you go into the bathroom, then you should...
make sure that you take it off. Don't give it to children, you know, for them to throw it about. You give the utmost respect, because this refers back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why we are referring.
Like in this case, we actually have at least a representation in front of us. Uh-huh. When we look at the lives of our pious predecessors, a great individual comes to mind, Sayyidina Imam Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He had, you know, there was no representation there. There were no footmarks. There were no footprints there. But when he would go past the blessed cities of Madinatul Munawwara, he would walk near, close to the walls. He would walk totally on the sides. And one of the reasons he would say is because, I don't know, maybe the blessed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have placed his blessed feet on this place, at this place. And I don't want my feet to be going over that same place. I don't want to tread on that same place where the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his foot. This is the adab, this is the respect that we learn from these great scholars.
We also hear from Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi's life that even he would say that, I don't want to tread, maybe the horse, the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have tread, and I don't want to tread on them as well.
Allah Akbar. He would not ride a horse, you know, read in his blessed seerah that he was given actually horses, high quality horses as gifts, but he wouldn't ride them.
A beautiful saying of Anashiqa Rasul, and he writes that, O Prophet of Allah, if your blessed foot had not honored the earth, ablution with soil would not purify anyone. Because of your Nalene Park that have blessed the world, then we are doing tayammum. Because of your Nalene Park.
Allahu Akbar. Ji, Amar bhai, more about the slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala.
The blessed Nalene of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were talking about earlier as well, you know, just keeping that representation, that image in one sense of the Nalene. The scholars, they teach us that a person would be blessed with the vision of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, in terms of blessings in his household, they're also advised to keep that within his household. To the extent that the scholars, they say, if somebody wants to visit Madinatul Munawwara, if somebody wants to visit the blessed city of Medina, he should keep a representation of the Na'alain with him. Through its blessings, inshallah, he will be blessed with a visit towards the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. And in general, you know, the house that, for example, as the scholars have mentioned, the house that this representation is kept in, that house will be safe from fire. And likewise, robbery and so on and so forth. So, you know, the whole just
pregnant woman also, in terms of for her protection, for her to protect her fetus, she should also keep the blessed Nalene Park.
So, you know, this just This is just the representation of the Na'alayn.
People like Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti Ash-Shafi'i radhiyallahu anhu. You know, we hear, as we said, subhanAllah, we hear about Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, a true love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Hazrat Yusuf ibn Ismail An-Nabhani radhiyallahu anhu, a brilliant, again another scholar who we just mentioned. A third scholar, my dear brothers, you must always remember his name, Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti Ash-Shafi'i radhiyallahu anhu, a true lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a muhaddith, the greatest muhaddith of his time. You know, he's written books that, you know, Khusaisul Kubra, you know, the Allahu Akbar, the, what he's written, and about whom he's mentioned the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, we mentioned the other day.
During, you know, in consciousness, in reality itself,
in a wakeful state.
In the wakeful state, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 70 times. And if he was to be in doubt of any hadith as to whether it's authentic or not, he would directly ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my dear brothers, seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not something which, again, you know, we're just making up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani haqqan." So that individual who saw me in dreams, and indeed he saw me. Why? The shaitan can never take the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also continues, "Man ra'ani fil manami sayirani fil yaqdati." But that individual who sees me in his dream, he shall also see me in a wakeful state. Fil yaqdha. Yaqdha means in a wakeful state. But these seven brothers, so it is possible to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And great scholars such as we mentioned, Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti rahimahullah. These scholars also, you know, scholars from Morocco, scholars from Damascus, all over the world, my dear Islamic brothers, they have themselves taken drawings of the blessed slippers of Rasulullah.
You know, sometimes people say
taken
that
blessings from
it's those. Only done in the subcontinent. It's only you Pakistanis who do it. It's only you Indians who do it. No, every single scholar that you mentioned, none of them was from Pakistan.
It came to my mind actually when he especially was mentioning Imam Nabhani rahmatullah alayhi, that he was from Palestine, and I was thinking it's really good that you've clarified that, because we are so far away from knowledge, we don't study, you know, the works of these great scholars. So we think, and people sort of take advantage of that, because people, somebody will come and they'll say, you know what, this only, oh, you started doing it when people were in India or people were in Pakistan. Nobody's done this in the past. And because we don't have the knowledge, we get confused by that. But alhamdulillah, you know, like we've said before, that we follow, alhamdulillah, we follow Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullah alayhi. But we don't follow him because he gave us something new. He brought something new. Rather, he just passed on the message that was carrying on from the time of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, other scholars, and so on and so forth. Wherever there are wrong things done in the name of, for example, tasawwuf and so on and so forth, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullah alayhi has strongly condemned that. But like we mentioned in the past as well, you know, his research, mashallah, his way of research, just see the Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi, his way of research was such solid that you cannot refute the works of Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi, because his, you know, is so backed up with such solid research. So this is what happens when a person is unable to answer that or refute that point that has been made, but he just simply does not want to accept that, then he would resort to personal attacks. And that's what started to happen. So when people started to resort to personal attacks, so then that's when the confusion spread, you know, oh, he did this, he did that, and falsely attributing things which Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi actually condemns in his works.
You know,
so it's to keep us from studying his
one
works.
One thing that you mentioned about personal attacks, Ala Hazrat would get pleased with that.
Allah,
you know, someone asked him that people are attacking you, and he goes, alhamdulillah, at least they are not attacking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
You know, so again, a true Ashiqi Rasul. And you know, when you talk about the blessed sandals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people sometimes say, where is it written? Which book is it written? Then if you ask the Sahaba ikram, which book did you read, O Sahaba, that you know you started to take the blessed sliver of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He used to go to the barber, cut his hair. They used to take it. Which book did the Sahaba ikram read? The love guides you. And alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, today when we see people, you know, wearing the Na'alayn-e Paak, and it's not only people, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, the media has made the world a small place now. Yeah, you see people throughout the whole world. You go into Makkah Park, Madinah Park, the Hujjaj Kiram, those people who come for Umrah, everyone's got that love. Someone's wearing a topi with Nalene Park on their heads. Yeah, someone's wearing, mashallah, you know, a badge on the heart. Someone is wearing on the head. And these are people from different backgrounds.
SubhanAllah. ذرے جھڑ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں پیزاروں ہو کے ذرے جھڑ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں سیاروں ہو کے ذرے جھڑ کر تیری ذرے جھڑ کر تیری بنتے ہیں سیاروں کے یا رسول اللہ تیرے قدموں میں جو ہے غیر کا منہ کیا دیکھے کون نظروں پہ چڑھے دیکھ کے تلوار تیرا ذرے جھڑ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں سیاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں سیاروں کے میرے آقا کا وہ در ہے جس پر میرے آقا کا وہ در ہے جس پر میرے ماتھے گھس جاتے ہیں سرداروں کے 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 میرے آقا کا وہ پر میرے آقا کا وہ در گئے جس پر میرے آقا کا وہ در گئے جس پر ماتھے گھس جاتے ہیں سرداروں کے ماتھے گھس جاتے ہیں سرداروں کے ماتھے گھس جاتے ہیں سرداروں کے ماتھے گھس جاتے ہیں سرداروں کے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Ladies and brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, the name of the program is The Blessings of Milad. Alhamdulillah, today we were speaking about the generosity of Rasulullah صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم, how no doubt he was the most generous of all people, my Islamic brothers, and especially in the month of Ramadan also. Allah, you know, he was the most generous, but especially in the month of Ramadan. And then when I said Jibreel alayhi salam would come and meet him, he would be even more generous than the strong wind.
Allah,
SubhanAllah. My Islamic brothers, similarly we spoke about the blessed Na'aleen Park, you know, the one, the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also having this representation of the blessed slippers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Any last words, Amar, by Hafiz Fakir sahab, before we have salatu wa salam, inshallah. Any last words, Hafiz sahab?
I think one of the things is that if someone doesn't know anything, like for example, we talked about the Na'aleen Park, we talked about the Mu'e Mubarak, don't doubt things. You know, because if you're not sure about something, you always ask someone. Yeah, now Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, especially
I think Hafiz sahab, rather than saying don't doubt things, there's no harm in doubting, don't criticize.
Criticize, sorry, that's a good word. You know, so because we're in the month of Rabiul Noor Sharif, a lot of people, mashallah Azza wa Jalla, will be, you know, showing the beautiful Na'aleen Park of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Mu'e Mubarak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't go to such gatherings with a doubt in your mind, that, you know, or criticizing in your mind that this is not the right one. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, go with love, go with affection. That love, I just want to mention one little incident that happened with the Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Someone went to see him, and because he wanted a night to stay and something to eat, he said, I'm a Sayyid. So that Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ali, he gave him respect, took him home, fed him, make him stay there. And in the morning, he gave him breakfast and he, you know, took him to the place where he was going to leave. And then he said to him, my son, only you know, I know, Allah knows if you are a Sayyid or not. But because you said you were a Sayyid, I gave you respect. So if people say that that is a Nalene Park and majority of the people agree with that, accept it as well.
SubhanAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of the channel, remember Alhamdulillah, it is the month of Rabi'ul Nur. Please try to arrange a Milad Mahfil in your house. No doubt it is, you know, a means of gaining so much reward, my dear Islam brothers, gaining so much blessing of increasing your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But also remember that whenever any Milad gathering takes place, it must be in accordance to the Quran and the Sharia. There's no such thing as having a milad and then performing sins there, or having a milad and doing anything which is contrary to the Sharia. That is not milad. That is not milad. When we say milad, we refer to, you know, listening to the Holy Quran, to praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listening to his speech about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, performing good acts, whatever it may be, as long as you're not performing any sin. Because as soon as you're performing sin, this is not milad, my dear Muhammad. It will bless, inshallah, try to, yes, celebrate milad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to celebrate milad, and then also to celebrate it in accordance with the Sharia. Because this is extremely important, and so many people are ruining, you know, they're marring the name of milad by, you know, making it an excuse to get together and to perform sin, to have free mixing, etc. My dear Muhammad brothers, we should refrain from this. Ammar bhai, 1 minute.
I think I have sort of touched upon this point on multiple occasions, but another beautiful incident that comes to mind, which is, you know, to show that even though the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after his physical demise, even then his generosity has not come to an end. His generosity has still not come to an end. We were speaking about Imam al-Nabahani rahmatullah alayhi. He has mentioned in his famous book Hujjatullahi ala al-Alameen, which consists of the miracles of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Shaykh Ahmad bin Nafis rahmatullah alayhi, he says that I went to the blessed court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was hungry. I sort of presented my pleas in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I am hungry. And he says, I fell asleep. Someone came and woke me up, took me home, and they fed me. And they said that, eat until you are satisfied. Because he was from the lineage of the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who took him home. And he said that because my grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to me and told me to feed you because you're hungry. Whenever you're hungry, you can always come to me. So the generosity of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not limited to only his lifetime, but even, you know, his physical lifetime on this earth, but rather even till this day and age, we, alhamdulillah, we are benefiting from the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah, let's stand and recite the salat. And salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi.
Ya Nabi, salam alayka. Ya Rasul, salam alayka. Ya Habib, salam alayka. Salawatullah alayka. Ya Nabi, salam alayka. Ya Rasul, salam. السلام عليك صلوات الله عليك أنت نور الله فجرا أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحاضرين أنت هادي وصفي يا حبيبي يا ممجد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك السلام
السلام جان عالم السلام امام عالم شاہ دین سلطان عالم صلوات اللہ علیک ایوہ المختار فینا زادنا الحب حنینا جئتنا بالخير فينا يا ختام المرسلين يا حبيبي يا ممجد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
Madhini Islamic brothers and viewers of Madhini channel, the program is the blessings of Milad. It is a blessed month of Milad, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the month when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. It is a month of celebration, a month of happiness, and we should express this happiness. One way, my Islamic brothers, is to show your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by reciting the Durood Sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. We should, as always, recite our five daily prayers, perform our five daily prayers, you know, recite the Holy Quran as much as possible. And my dear Islamic brothers, continue to watch Madini channel. Sallu ala al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam.
Miladun Nabi, welcome Miladun Nabi, welcome Miladun Nabi. We